This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Breaking news at 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. No one was dealing with more breaking news than Major Garrett over these past 3 weeks. Everything going on in Washington, D.C., from the riots, impeachment, yesterday's inauguration festivities, it was all fair game in our conversation with probably Washington's most famous Padres fan.
Oh, yeah.
And getting more time on the CBS News anchor desk.
Killing
as well.
It, man.
I'm always delighted when he gives us a few minutes on the show today. This was a great day for it. He joined us very early this morning, so going to bring that back for you right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. Join us on Ben and Woods is the CBS chief Washington correspondent, our Padres fan on the East Coast representing on the national news. Major Garrett is back with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Major.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing? That's the important question.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. As I tell many of my friends who ask me, hey, how you doing? I say, well, lately that's been a multi-layered answer. So I'm fine. But it's been a very, very stressful 3 weeks here in Washington. New York Magazine had a very arresting and interesting cover this week. It had three words, all beginning with the word I, draped across the front cover: insurrection, impeachment, inauguration. And someday a brilliant person, perhaps myself, will write a book called Three Wednesdays, because all three of those things happened on Wednesday. And they were by far the most stressful and intense time I've spent in the nation's capital since I was with George W. Bush on 9/11 so long ago. So they're not the same. I'm not suggesting that they are, but they are both deeply traumatizing to the country, have been and will remain for quite some time. But that's a downer. I want to say one thing before we launch onto the Padres and other things. So I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys about this, but I just want to say my own personal shout out to the best play-by-play announcer the Padres have ever had, Ted Leitner. I got a chance to meet Ted a couple of times. I'm much more a fan of him than he is of me, and that's perfectly understandable. But when he arrived in San Diego, he transformed the way San Diego fans listened to a baseball game being called. He made Jerry Coleman better. He made everyone who came in the booth better. Not only is he an institution, he is a great San Diegan. And I just want to say my own shout out, because I am among the millions in San Diego who loved listening to his voice. He made me smarter listening to baseball. He made me enjoy it, even when the baseball wasn't so enjoyable.
It's really well said. And we feel the exact same way about our beloved Uncle Teddy here. We're talking to Major Garrett here on Ben and Woods this morning. And Major, yeah, I mean, if I know you were obviously it was one of the craziest times in our country's history 3 weeks ago, the raid on the Capitol. What was it like for you being there in D.C.? My aunt lives in D.C. She also lived in New York during 9/11. I told her, if you move to New Orleans, there's going to be a massive hurricane. So just stay put right up. Stop moving to these places where these weird things happen, Aunt Kathy. So, for you being there, Major, what was it like?
So I was part of our team of coverage in the CBS Bureau, downtown Washington, D.C., with Nora O'Donnell and Ed O'Keefe. So I wasn't at the Capitol. I was at the anchor desk. And the day began with the procedures going on in Congress. We knew there was a speech. I listened to a good portion of the speech. I knew there was a large crowd. I knew they were heading to the Capitol. I did not feel good about it. I spent all of those weeks after the election listening to the president, and I'm going to say this as plainly as I can, pile lie upon lie upon lie. He knew they were lies. The people around him knew they were lies, and he just kept piling them on. And he fed people, as Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, said, he fed the mob lies. And I didn't feel good about what was going to happen that day, but my darkest premonitions never reached what actually happened. Yeah. So I was on the anchor desk. We took a brief break because Congress had gone into recess to debate these, the first challenge to Arizona, which everyone knew would go nowhere. And then I was watching in my office, the Senate chamber, and I listened to a speech end and a very quick, where the Senate is in recess. And I'm like, I got to go down to the, we're going to go back on the air in a second. I just know it. And sure enough, we went back on the air about 2:15 Eastern time. And I stayed at that desk along with Nora and Ed until 11 p.m. Eastern, essentially. And had to sort of offer to the best of my ability, along with all of our brave correspondents who were there in the middle of it, to the degree it's a metaphor that works, play-by-play commentary of an armed insurrection on the Capitol that sought to first endanger and possibly arrest and maybe do something worse to lawmakers and even the Vice President of the United States. To say nothing in my career prepared me for that is an understatement.
So then you go on to the second eye, which was impeachment the following week. And I just want to get your thoughts, Manger, because obviously there was a different tone yesterday with Joe Biden inaugurated as vice president. But there's still the big disagreement in Washington about people who think they need to press on with the impeachment, even though President Trump is now out of office. But there's also calls for unity and try to move forward in more of a spirit of cooperation, which it's hard to disagree with, you know, cooperation being good for the country and everyone. But are those two things incompatible? What's the discussion like that's going on right now when it comes to the issues of impeachment?
So it's easy to think about impeachment this morning, right now, as, well, it feels like overkill. Do we really need to do that? But let me remind people of where we were in the immediate aftermath of the attack on the United States Capitol, the first by citizens of this country in our entire history. In the immediate aftermath of that, there was no sense among members of Congress of what President Trump's attitude would be his remaining days in office. What they know is on the day that the mob he set forth to attack the Capitol, and there's no other way you can think about it, I know there are those who want to sort of dissect his language and look for actual direction to storm the Capitol, and you can't find it. That's not the point. They had been whipped up for weeks by, again, a blatant, intentional lie, and he knew they were whipped up. And he knew or had to know what this language might do. And then when it was actually happening and frantic calls were being made to the White House, to the president to do something, to say something, he didn't. So the mindset was, we don't know what his attitude is going to be about this Capitol, our safety, and the institution of the Congress of the United States for his remaining days in office. What is the potential remedy to at least send him a signal that he better stay inside the guardrails for the remaining days? Impeachment is, because it has to be, there has to be an institutional response. Essentially, members of Congress came to this conclusion: the executive branch of the United States government attacked the legislative branch. So what does the legislative branch have to do? It has one remedy: send a signal to the executive branch that if you do that, or anyone in your position in the future does that, you will be impeached. Action, reaction. That's what happened. And the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, used that effectively for days as a way to signal the president, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to vote on this. I'm not even going to tell you when it's going to come to the floor, if it's going to come to the floor, because I need to keep you inside these guardrails. So impeachment now feels like, oh, can't we get beyond it? Well, when it happened, we weren't beyond it. And one of the reasons it had to happen is because we weren't beyond it. And it was the one tool that Congress could use to keep things calm for the remaining days and hours of the Trump presidency.
Yeah, really, really well said. Talking to Major Garrett here on Ben and Woods this morning. And I think part of the reason we were on the air in the morning when a lot of the ceremony got started, got home, watched a little bit of it, Major. And then I just kind of unplugged because, frankly, it kind of gives me tired head. It really does. I'm just kind of worn out by all of it, you know, the pandemic, everything else. And mm-hmm. Okay, this is the deal. This is moving forward. This is what we're going to do. And I'm just going to get up and go do the best show I can tomorrow. I will say, though, I was talking to my wife about it, and I go, I'm nervous. This makes me nervous watching this. Is something else going to happen? You know, that shouldn't be the way that you feel, you know. And I actually was very pleased to see that they did such a great job at making sure nothing absolutely insane happened yesterday. Did you feel also a sense of trepidation going into the inauguration?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I know the Capitol was on lockdown, and I know that with 20,000 deployed, an extra 5,000 in reserve, and other troops across the Potomac River ready to come in if necessary, everyone was, to use a baseball expression, on the balls of their feet, waiting for the pitch, essentially. Everyone was nervous, everyone. And look, I've covered inaugurations in Washington. I've been privileged enough to do it. It's the realization, along with everything else I cover in Washington, of my greatest childhood dreams, all born in San Diego, where I'm from. And I've done this since 1993. That was my first inauguration. I've covered every single one since. It's always America's Day. It's always a celebration. But I remember in 2005, the first inauguration after 9/11, how nervous we all were. And in 2009 with President Obama, because those of us in the know in Washington knew that there was a lot of traffic and chatter, as we called it back then, about potential terrorist attack that morning, inauguration morning, and things were very nervous then. Well, yesterday was much more nervous than those two previous inaugurations in terms of, can we make sure nothing bad happens? Now, everything was very much reduced in size and scope. It was going to be anyway because of the pandemic. That made it easier to keep things from getting out of kilter in terms of a security risk. But I guarantee you, when night fell yesterday, all of us were like, whew, we got through. Now, the great question is, when do the fences come down? When do we take the razor wire out from around the United States Capitol? You know, that's a hard question to answer right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to it. And a lot of lawmakers I've talked to don't know the answer to that question.
Talking to Major Garrett, focusing on the eyes, insurrection, impeachment, inauguration. Inoculation would be nice moving forward for the country.
Mm-hmm. Very good, man.
But
absolutely.
As a Padres fan,
absolutely.
As a Padres fan, Major, I think the only I word that seems to come to mind when it comes to this offseason, what A.J. Preller is doing, kind of impossible, because it doesn't feel possible that the Padres could be the team that is getting everybody excited, not only in this town, but in the entire country, talking about Padres baseball right now. You've lived through so many of the bad years, Major. This has to be...
All of them. All of them.
This has to be just such a treat, like it is for us, for you as well, to see a completely different direction for your baseball team.
It is another I word. It is absolutely incredible. It's something I have no preparation for in my life. None. I don't know how to live in this world. And the next column I'm going to write for the beautiful yet humble Claremont Times is going to be, let's get arrogant. Let's learn to get arrogant, okay? Because that's what's going to happen. Because what we have built, 1 through 8 in the lineup, and now by far the most formidable starting rotation in all the National League, you come to San Diego to get a tan and get a beatdown and then leave. That's what's going to happen from now on. For the next 3 or 4 years, you come to San Diego, you get a tan, and you lose 2 or 3 at least. That's what's going to happen. That's the world we're going to live in. Trust me, all of my life, with the exception of 1984, 1998, and a couple of seasons around 1998, 96, people came to San Diego to get a tan, relax, take 2 of 3, take 3 of 3 maybe, and then move on. Have a wonderful vacation in San Diego. That's not going to happen anymore. You're going to come here. You're going to take your lumps. You're going to win 1 game if you're lucky, and then you're going to get gone. And that's a stratosphere I can't wait to live in. That's some very thin air way at the top of the mountain, and I've been climbing it for nearly 50 years. So I can't wait to get there.
It truly is remarkable. Now, the only thing that would make it better, Major, is if we could all go to games at Petco Park at some point this season. I don't know, you know, what you're hearing in terms of vaccine distribution and the pandemic and whether that's something that – does it feel possible to you that, you know, by the All-Star break or sometime, you know, in the middle of the summer, you know, that we'll be able to get back to watching games?
The last time we talked, I was very bullish, very optimistic about All-Star break and sort of mid-July as a place where not only the country celebrates, but things do feel a little bit back to normal. I still am there. Look, this incoming administration is going to be tested, and it's going to be evaluated. It's going to set out benchmarks. It's already given the country a way to measure them. 100 million shots in the first 100 days. If they don't meet that, they're going to be judged harshly because they've invited that scrutiny by letting out and essentially setting as a goal that big benchmark. That's a new way of dealing with and talking about this pandemic. These are benchmarks. This is how you can measure us. This is how you can judge us. And we better perform. And if we don't, we will inherit all of the legitimate criticism. That's a new way of thinking and talking about this. And I know the states want to do better. And I know this administration wants to send money out as rapidly as possible and do better things with logistics and get the third and fourth vaccine approved, AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, to have as many different variants out there as possible in as many different places as possible. Petco, I know, is going to be used. Dodger Stadium is going to be used. A lot of different big places that can move a lot of people in and out are going to be done. We need to sign up and get websites that work and all this logistical stuff, but we're a good country. We're a great country. We can do a lot of things. And if we do it right, if this late winter and the beginning of spring is a time when we actually genuinely do ramp this up, there are going to be fans at Petco, I have to believe, at some number in May at the very latest, if not April. At some number. I'm not saying 50,000 or 43,000, what the capacity is, but some number. And I hope by July, 20,000. But one thing we know for sure, one thing we know absolutely, whatever the available number of tickets is for any given day will be sold in 5 minutes.
Yep. He is the incomparable, intelligent, indefatigable Major Garrett. I'm just coming up with I words just that I can throw in because I like the theme of I words this morning, Major. Say it all again.
Stay on that
incomparable,
role.
Intelligent, indefatigable.
Indefatigable.
I needed a good I word to finish this off, Major.
I'll take it. I will take it.
Irrepressible. Major,
yeah,
thank you
right.
So much. Have a good rest of your winter, and spring training is right around the corner.
Can't wait. I cannot wait. Have fun.
Thank you, Major Garrett.
Be
so
well.
Much.
Be safe. Take care.
Chief Washington correspondent for CBS News.
A little wrecking ball.
Gosh, make me so nervous. Intelligent.
Throw it out there.
We got to pull the intelligent from there, Paul, just FYI, for tomorrow. Tomorrow's flubs. We have a lot. I've had one myself.
Woods messed up his own name earlier today.
I messed up my own name. Yep, I did.
Woodge.
Hi, guys. It's Woodgey. So, tomorrow will be flubs. Got a lot of good stuff planned.
Hey, good morning, guys. It is Woodgey. You know, I told you.
Woodgey, who is it?
Oh, man.
We will have Kirby Yates joining us and wish him well as he embarks on a new phase of his career with the Toronto Blue Jays. Reflect on his time here in San Diego. Got to be a bummer leaving this team at this moment.
Yep.
Obviously, well, but he's got to do what's best for him and his family at this point, too.
He's also going to a team that's arrow is pointed upwards as well. I mean, and again, yeah, we love Fernando Tatis Jr. here. He's the best. But you know what they think in Toronto? They think Vladdy Jr. is going to be really something special as well, and I think he will be also. So he gets to, you know, kind of see that from that perspective, too. So
that's 7 a.m. tomorrow. Should be a good show. It's been a great week. Thanks to Paul Reindel, our executive producer.
Great job.
That's
Paul.
It for today. Jim Rome is up next for Woodsy. I'm Ben. Have a great rest of your Thursday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's Woodsy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.